sponsors of this session for giving me the opportunity to present to you and for you to stay here late to hear me. I have to wait, they told me. But I want to say that, you know, I'm very happy to present on behalf of my two associates with the Mexican Institute of Social Security. This is, probably most of you know, but is the largest, second to the Chinese Social Security Institute in the world, and covers about probably a little bit less than 40% or about 40% of the Mexican population. It's a kind of an HMO type of a organization. So, and Marta Costa is as well as Armando Campos, they are doctors with a training in family medicine, and they put together this idea of a master's in health services research. And it amounted to, for them to have time for Marta to do this study, and I was the advisor, so but she couldn't travel. And Armando is a good friend of mine, and he's the director of the local hospital, is soon to retire, but he's always enthusiastic about doing population-based research. And we picked this topic, though, you know, I didn't have much to offer other than epidemiology, so that's what you're going to hear me talking about. And so there might be no new things for you, but it was exciting for us to learn about, you know, what's going on in the community. This is what the contract. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, it's not like the fertility rates among teenagers in Mexico are not declining, but probably there is this situation that was described in Mexico, by the way, like 40 years ago, of the population momentum. Thomas Freca, who lived and retired in Mexico with the Population Council, described that situation just because the numbers of women, you know, are so big, you know, and their fertilities may decline, but still we have a population momentum. And that is what is going on in Mexico, and I'll talk a little bit about the politics that also impact on this. You will hear about the estimates I have from this study on the what is the effect of a lack of access to modern contraception, and the application of a case control study designed to address issues of relevant to family planning. It is well known that teenage pregnancy is associated with the bad outcomes, reproductive outcomes, such as premature birth, low birth weight, and you know, increased risk of neonatal death, basically through neonatal asphyxia. This is well known, and it's probably what we need another study. However, you know, there is a lack of data, for instance, locally to, you know, provide an estimate of what's going on. So I don't present data on what is the situation in Ciudad Juarez, because the data may be not complete. A specific fertility rates in Mexico are about 8. These are through surveys. 80 live births per 1,000 women in that age, and it's intermediate between the most and the least developed countries. So there are countries in Europe and Asia that have about 22 per 1,000, and the least probably are in the hundreds in that range. More background, this is not the first study, of course, in Mexico. There are studies done from survey data, and from those we know that about 70% of women of reproductive potential are using modern contraceptive methods. Also, this data has been analyzed to identify in the sample what are the correlates of teenage pregnancy, and consistently you find low socioeconomic status, early sexual life initiation, and being married, though, you know, I'm learning from attending this that, you know, there might be a transition, and cross-sectional data or the study we did doesn't allow you to capture this transition from marital common law married to, you know, legally married. But this is something very interesting that I'm learning. Preference for early fertility is a well-known fact in urban areas, in rural areas across the world, perhaps in Mexico, that there are studies done in Cuernavaca, Morelos, by my friend Rosa Maria Nunez, are published in Salud Pública de Mexico, the Mexican Journal of Public Health, and a study done in Campeche showing that this is a very important determinant of or correlate of teenage pregnancy in Mexico. We aimed in this study to assess the role of contraceptive use on the risk of teen pregnancy while simultaneously controlling for other risk factors in a Mexican population along the U.S.-Mexico border. That's where our regional campus of the School of Public Health is. And we use the analytic framework developed by Kingsley Blake and Judy Davis, proposed in 1956, that uses systematize the factors into underlying and intermediate factors in determining fertility, and they broke the intermediate into those related to factors associated with exposure to intercourse and those to exposure to contraception. The study was approved by the Internal Review Board of the Mexican Institute for Social Security. We ensured that the information obtained was kept confidential from parents and spouses, and other rights were protected as well. And, you know, because they are not adults, we had to obtain parental consent. We conducted a population-based case control study using equal number of cases and controls. The study took place in Ciudad Juarez, one of the largest cities along the U.S.-Mexico border on the Mexican on Mexico. It's about the same size of Tijuana, or about 1.2 million population. Juarez has attracted the three large waves of immigrants, the latest from Veracruz, my hometown in Mexico, by the way. And Juarez has been attracting these immigrants from mostly rural areas because of the growth of the duty-free assembly manufacturing jobs, or so-called maquiladora industry. Individuals included in the study were teenage women 15 to 19 years of age, that was our definition. We didn't want to go, you know, under 15, who were self-reported sexually active during the last year previous to the interview. The cases were defined as women who were diagnosed as pregnant at the time of the interview, and controls were women who reportedly had never been pregnant. Cases and controls were selected as follows. We conducted a survey in a random sample of Ciudad Juarez to identify teenagers who were sexually active who had never been pregnant, and also identify teenagers who were pregnant. The survey followed a two-stage cluster design and included about 20 randomly selected primary sampling units equivalent to census tracts. We also identified cases from the three largest public and private facilities, including Mexican Social Security and the Ministry of Health at Ron Hospital, mostly through records of prenatal visits, and we schedule interviews during the waiting time at the clinics. The questions were developed and pilot tested using two focus groups and a few in-depth interviews. We conducted confidential interviews by trained personnel to collect information on demographics and socioeconomic status, socioeconomic variables, reproductive and sexual history of the study subjects. When the information was collected at home, the interviewers were instructed to ask permission to gain access to an area where the information could be collected without the parents or spouses overhearing the questions and the answers. The data analysis consisted of simple, stratified, and multivariate analysis in that sequence. We used the change of estimate criterion advanced by Greenland for variable selection and the goodness of fit statistics proposed by Hosmer and Lemeshu. The most striking finding came out of the two focus groups. The women in these groups, thank you. The women in these groups seem to have become pregnant very willfully, and they told us in the focus groups, they talk to each other, and kind of at that point say, do we keep doing the study or we just do another study? But we learned from that about, you know, did they understand the questions, and we calibrated that instrument. And also they told us they weren't trying any modern contraceptive use, so kind of that gears towards, you know, focusing on that topic. This slide provides all the results. It's a busy table, but it provides all the results included in the model. The second and the third column show the number of cases and controls according to the variables, while the fourth and next to last provide the, you know, bivariate odds ratios and the multivariate odds ratios. In simple analysis, using those in the 15 years of age as referent, these people, there was some indication of an increasing risk of teenage pregnancy with increasing age. Those with less education staying at home, married, who started their menarche before 14, uninsured, or who didn't use contraceptives were more likely to be pregnant. There was no effect of the number of sexual partners or the frequency of sexual intercourse, though this data, I'm not showing that data. The last two columns refer to results of multivariate analysis and show that the effect of not using contraceptives remained unchanged, went from 2.8 to 3.5, but not big difference in there. No matter how we look at this, in which order, that wasn't confounded by any other set of confounders. Potential confounders. This following slide, just for easiness, shows those odds ratios in multivariate analysis that were statistically significant, but they were controlling for the other variables shown in the table. And so it's a repeat. This other slide, well, you can see that being at home and was a very important determinant. It's more like it's telling us a story about, you know, how these women live their lives. And this table shows the type of contraceptive use by each series. The types of controls it can be thought out as a small survey that we did in the community with only 48 observations. But you can see that the most common type of contraceptive use was the condom by these teenagers. Our study has some limitations related to scope and limited budget of the study. Case control studies on this topic have been conducted in England and other European countries. In some South American countries, there is something like that in Brazil, the group of Pelotas, and it has been conducted in South Africa, but there are a few in the U.S. I couldn't find many in the U.S. Maybe just didn't do the right research, but I don't think that there are many of them in Latin America or in Asia, and none of these studies have been done in Mexico. Most of the literature is based on studies using linking large databases in Europe, which can be done, by the way, in the National Mexican Institute of Social Security, and that possibility is probably worth pursuing to deepen and broaden the scope of the present study. Our study shows that there is lots of room for improvement of family planning services in northern Mexico, one of the most successful interventions done in Mexico and applied in other parts of Latin America consists of interventions based on the social learning model to change the belief system and expectations about fertility, such as the Sabido educational entertainment through media, specifically his soap operas, such as Acompañe Me or Acompáñame in Spanish. The migration that fits the sprawl of U.S.-Mexico border. The Mexico border means that the accepted norms of those areas are similar to those in rural areas from where the immigrants originate. And this poses a particular challenge to public health in this region. During the past 8 years, there has been a decline in funding and implementation of family planning programs in Mexico. There used to be programs that were called family planning in the Ministry of Health. Now they are not called that way, and that has an effect on the allocation of budget. Probably the politics is similar to that of the U.S. and just shows how entangled, how interlinked we are with the U.S. Thank you very much. I will be happy to entertain any questions you may have. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Victor. Our next speaker is Jenna Wright, who's going to talk about monitoring in Rwanda. And I don't know. Here.